We're coming from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him." I'm going to ask Jeremy to come up and join me here at the front. He's going to give you a testimony about God's faithfulness in his life. But we're going to be talking about giving and about stewardship and about things like that and how you can trust God to supply your needs in your life. Sometimes every year we kind of do a series on giving and stewardship so that you know it's coming, and that's that time of year again. And we're going to talk about giving and stewardship and generosity and all of that kind of stuff. But Jeremy has a testimony that he wanted to share with you this morning. So I'm going to hand him the mic. And Jeremy, thank you for doing that today.
I'm not very good at speaking in front of people, so kind of bear with me a little bit. But I wanted to give my testimony because, I mean, it's a powerful subject, and a testimony is something that you can't take away from a person. You can't detract from it. It's not somebody battling against, no, that can't be true. I mean, it's your testimony. It's the truth. I guess when I have to start with giving my testimony, I like to go back to kind of the roots of it all. I think that I had probably the awesomest family in the world to be born in, and have a mother who had such great faith in God. Because when she had her first son, she had all kinds of issues, and his esophagus wasn't connected to his stomach, and they went through all kinds of surgeries with him, and they went to the hospital with me, and the doctor shortly after was saying something along the lines of, "Hey, we think your son might have a heart murmur," and they went and they did all kinds of tests and stuff, and my mom, she got down on the floor and just said, "You know what, God, I trust in you, I thank you. If this is what I have to go through, you know, I'm okay with that. I have complete faith in you." And it wasn't long after that that the nurse came back and said, "Miss Rance, your son he's fine. There's nothing wrong with him."
Yeah.
And so I like to start with that. I believe that I had great roots for that. Growing up as a child, you know, we went to Faith Christian Center for a long time, and you know, trained up as a child to tithe in the church, and that's also where I gave my faith to the Lord, accepted Jesus as my Christ. And you know, maybe I didn't really fully understand what it was at that point in time, but I knew that I loved God. So as I progressed through the years, you know, you go to school, and later on in school, I found that, you know, I kind of battled some depression in my high school years a little bit. And even at work, like my first job, you know, I battled some depression and stuff, but it got down to, it was kind of like a youth spend the night at the church deal, and I was sick and tired of having that depression hanging over my life. So I went into the auditorium by myself in the dark. I got down at the altar, and I said, "God, take this from me, because I don't want it anymore." And I cried my eyes out, and then it's like I could feel it being lifted off of me. And I didn't have to battle that depression anymore. Maybe that's not as easy for other people, but God, He made the way. He knew that all we had to do was go to Him and give it to Him. He wants to take that burden from us. So that was a kind of a struggle for a long time, but after that it's been a world of difference. And then progressing a little bit further into my life, get to the job and college years, and been tithing on, my first job and everything else, and just continued to, go to church with my parents, and I had a friend. She was actually a girlfriend at one point in time, and obviously that didn't work out, but she said that she had a dream of
Hallelujah.
of like a black car and death, and after I got away from her and I got my next car, what did I do? I picked out a black sports car, and unfamiliar territory and out with friends and going too fast down an unfamiliar road, and my friend next to me, he wasn't buckled up, and we were getting towards this curve, and he was like, slow down, slow down. So I hit the brake way too hard, and rear end kicked out one way, and I overcorrected, and then I overcorrected again. We went for a spin and hit a guardrail and chopped off some trees, a couple inches in diameter, sailing across and slammed into a tree. And I would have to say that it's a miracle that he only had to get like a stitch in his hand, and there was nothing wrong with me other than a sore back for a day or two. And just to think back, if I hadn't been faithful to God and tithing and just having that protection in my life and good parents praying over me, that that night might have ended completely different. I could have been in jail for the rest of my life for involuntary manslaughter. Could have had that guilt hanging over my life. But instead, God chose to keep his hand on us. And we walked away. And sure, we learned our lessons with cars and all, but it could have been so much worse. Going a little bit further forward, I've worked, this is what I like to call the beginning of the 10 and 10. Found Kelly, my awesome wife, and we got married, and during 10 years, we've had 10 different jobs between the two of us. And there was one point, 2008, where it was shortly before Thanksgiving, and I lost my job, like a couple of days before Thanksgiving. And then I don't remember if it was the same day or the next day, but she came home with news that she had just been let go from her job too. And it was a tight time. I think we were kind of in between churches at that point. And we kind of hung in there, but we knew that we needed some change. About Christmas time, I had gotten a gift from her mom, some cash, and I could have easily just blown that on whatever else, to have a good Christmas, but I knew that I needed to use that money for something else. I gave that money in an offering of faith that God would help me to find a job. And it was within 2 weeks from that point that I had two different job offers that I had to choose from. So, ever since then, you know, we've been attending here and tithing faithfully. And never really losing track of where we were from this point on. Obviously, we've had, you know, a rocky road in places, and it was a little less than a year ago. At this point right now, it was October last year where I quit my job, my last job, where I had a boss who was verbally abusive and non-appreciative. All he was expectations. And it was really eating me. Like, I didn't want to have to face the mental issues of all the different things that he'd say and the stress of it all, and it just wasn't worth it. And I quit my job there. And I didn't have unemployment, but God was faithful because we were faithful. He provided the whole time, even the last time when I didn't have a job and Kelly didn't have a job, there was never a time where we didn't have enough to pay all our bills. It would be, okay, we know we got a payment coming up and I don't know how we're going to do this one. And then the next day her boss, one of her old bosses, would call her up, hey, can you come in for a couple of hours? And we were able to have that finance available so we could pay everything. But this last time around with quitting my job, I was very firm in my faith at this point, and I didn't worry this time. I just knew that God was going to take care of me. He has my back. He has a plan. He knew that I was going to reach this day. It wasn't a surprise to him. He already knew. So I had interviewed for a couple of different jobs, and there was some interest, but I ended up getting a job, a temporary job, not really temporary, contract position at Hayworth. And after I got that, I mean, it's been great. Kelly, she's been praying for a long time that, you know, I wouldn't have to go through that whole time as a contract personnel, but that they would hire me on full time. And it wasn't even 6 months, and I'd gotten news that they were going to bring me on full time. They wanted to hire me. I believe very firmly that this is due to faithfully tithing. I got a couple of scriptures here I'd like to read too. This comes from 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Then I got a little bit more. going to start at Malachi 3:6. It's going to be a little bit weird here. Just hang in there. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me. But ye say, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you with the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. That's really all I have to say.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for a God that provides, takes care of His children, who sees the generosity that we have and responds to it willingly and happily? I want to talk to you this morning about that sacrifice life and the blessings of God that come from that. We are called to be living sacrifices before Him. And we sacrifice our lives for God so that He can in turn use us in the way that He wants to use us. Tony Campolo tells a story about being at a ladies' meeting one time. How many of you know who Tony Campolo is? He is a weirdo for Jesus. There's nobody like Tony Campolo. He's bald as a cue ball. He's a professor at Pennsylvania State College, I believe, in Pennsylvania. He's just got this unique outlook on the gospel. Very bold, very brash. But he's at a ladies' meeting, and there are about 300 women there. Before he spoke, the president of the organization read a very moving letter from a missionary that was that had an emergency need that was about $4,000. And the lady said, we need to pray that God will provide this for this missionary. Brother Campolo, would you lead us in prayer that God will provide this for the missionary? And Tony Campolo got up and he said, no. And she didn't think she heard him right. And so she said, excuse me? And he says, no, I'm not going to pray that for that missionary. I believe that God has already provided the resources available and that all that we need to do is give. It was kind of a Tony church. And he looked around and he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to reach in my pocket and every dime that I have, every penny that I have, I'm going to give to this missionary. And he reached into his pocket and he said, I had about 15 bucks in my pocket, so I wasn't too worried about that. But he took that money out and he put it on the table and he looked around and he said, there, that's the start. And the president of the organization kind of looked around, it was on her. She said, well, I guess you have a good principle for us to follow. And he said, no, it's not a principle, it's a call to action. There's a difference between the two. We're going to do this morning. And I put my $15 down. That's all the money that I had in my pocket. Now I want the rest of you to do that. And the lady looked kind of around a little bit. She realized that the focus was on her. So she reached in her pocket and she found $40 and put it in there and kind of walked up and put it on the table. And then lady after lady after lady came and put that money down there. By the end, they had $4,000+ to give to the missionary. And Tony looked at that. He said, now listen, here's the lesson here. God always supplies for our need, and He supplied for this missionary. The problem was we didn't need to pray about it. We needed to do something about it. We needed to give what we already had and thank God for His provision. I want to talk to you this morning about when is enough in our lives. When do we give? When do we have enough? When is enough in our lives given? You know, America is exceedingly wealthy. The poorest person in the room here today is by far wealthier than the poorest person or even the middle class in most other countries. Here are some things that Americans buy every day. This is every day. Not every week, not every month, not every year, but every day. Every day in America, nearly 4 million movie tickets are bought. How many of you could live without a movie? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Probably some of you could live without more movies, too, that are out there anyway. 1,683,835 songs and albums from online resources. And I must say I contribute to that. I'm always downloading stuff on my iPod. 1,650,000 DVD rentals from Netflix. And everybody laughed when they said online streaming movies. Who's going to do that? 978,000 bags of Orville Redenbacher gourmet popcorn every day. 568,000 Titleist golf balls, and there's all kinds of other golf balls that are sold every day too. Listen to this, 443,650 large French fries at Burger King. They don't even make that good a French fry. I kind of like Wendy's myself, but you know, don't want you to lose your salvation over that, okay? We can all get our French fries where you want to get your French fries. 160,968 bottles of Absolut vodka are sold every day in this country. 7,500 Samsung LCD TVs and 60 Ford Mustangs are sold on eBay every day. Every day. I was going to do something. I decided not to because I didn't want to get in trouble. But I was going to take up an offering this morning, and I was going to ask you just to give everything a dollar and under change in your pocket. I wonder how much we would come up with if we just gave that dollar away that we're going to use to buy a candy bar or something else, you know, in conjunction with the fives and the tens that we have in our wallet there this morning. I think it would be a significant number compared to the people, the size of group that we have here today. I want to get into your head the question. And I'm not going to answer the question for you. You need to answer the question for yourself. How much is enough? When do you have enough? Now, I realize that that's a tough question because we live in a culture that teaches us from the time we can understand, you need more. Our economy is based on that. You need more. You've got to have a little more. You got a nice house, work your way up to a really nice house. You start out with kind of a banger beater car, you got to work your way up to a really nice car. You're nobody until your armpits don't sweat and smell anymore. Did I say that right? Your armpits don't smell and sweat. Yeah, I said that right. You know, your hair color, your dog, you know how much we spend on our dogs and our cats? Now I'm treading on sacred ground, aren't I? Yeah, I know some of you. Some of you sleep with those animals. I don't know. Get me started on that. Millions and billions of dollars is spent on that. How much is enough? Did you ever stop to think about that? How much do I really need to live? How much is really necessary to my happiness? How many of you have discovered this? That the thing that you just couldn't live without, even if you scrimp and even if you don't do an impulse buy, even if you don't whip out that credit card, put it on credit, even if you scrimp and save so that you can pay cash for it, how many of you have discovered the principle, the thing you want most really lets you down in the happiness level after you got it? You know, that's just human nature. That's that acquisition nature that we have. There's a scripture in Exodus chapter 16, and the background of this is that the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt. They were marching across the desert, but how many of you know there's not too many food sources in the desert? You know, you don't plant corn in the desert. It doesn't survive. And they got hungry. And so they cried out to God. First they complained to Moses. They really didn't cry out to God at all. They complained to Moses. You brought us out here to die. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. And Moses goes to God, and God says, stand back. Tomorrow morning, there will be quail enough to feed this whole nation in the campground. And there's going to be, when the dew burns away, there's going to be little morsels of bread on the ground. They're to go out and gather it. But he gave very specific directions on how they were to gather that stuff, that manna that was there. He said to them, they were to get enough just for that day. That's all they were supposed to get, is just enough for that day. And they got up the next morning, and sure enough, there were those little morsels of bread laying on the ground. The quail came, they had the bread on the ground, they went up and gathered it, and they would make bread out of that. And sure enough, those that gathered more than just a day's worth, it was all moldy and rotten by the time the next day came around, and they had to go out and they had to gather more just for that day. That lasted 40 years. Every morning, they had to get up and they had to gather their food for themselves there. Now, I got to confess, I think that's rather an inefficient way of doing that. Sorry, God, I don't mean, you know, to question your authority or anything. But why not 2 days' worth? I mean, it saves some labor, some problems, some difficulties. It would save some time. I mean, you know, Mama's got to get up every morning and go out and gather the bread while Daddy sleeps in, I guess. I don't know. But they have to go out and they can only gather enough. It just doesn't sound efficient to me. Maybe let them get a week's worth. They don't have to get up every morning. Let them store a week's worth of food and get over it. Then people will feel secure. They'll say, ah, I'm good for another week. But God wanted them to feel good for another day. It was enough. Now, there's some reasons for that. God wanted them to trust Him. He wanted them to come to the point in their life where they would say, I have today's worth and that's enough, because I know that tomorrow morning when I get up, God is going to have more for me. I like that what Jeremy said, that he had come to that point in his life where he knew that God was going to take care of him. You know, I've experienced that many times in my life. We put two boys through college, and that's not cheap. How many of you know that's not cheap? You know, it's just amazing how God would provide the money at the right time, and you know, it was just incredible to see His hand perform all of that. Sandy and I paid off our house this last year. That's a big woohoo. And there were times when we didn't know if we were ever going to reach that day. You know, you look at the mortgage and you look at that end price and what you owe and you think, oh my goodness, how are we going? We never missed a payment. We never missed a time when money was due that it didn't come from somewhere. God has always wanted us to act in faith and obedience, because He said, just do it for today. Just enough for today. Now, I'm not making a call for poverty here. I'm calling you to obedience. You know, most of us have more than what we need. I know I do. And I watched in wonder as God, you know, one of the first thoughts that Sandy and I had when we paid off that house is, great, we can give more to missions. We can give more to missionaries and projects and stuff that come up. And, you know, it's just wonderful to have that freedom that's there. Now, folks, I don't live in a mansion. I'm grateful to God for the house that I live in. I think it's perfect for us. It's just what we need. It's a three-bedroom, you know, built in 1960-something. It's not a mansion, but it's enough for us. It's enough. Besides, if we had a bigger house, Sandy would just have to clean more. And I can't stand to see that. It's just the kind of guy I am. We've got enough. You know, all that striving to have more, and I just want you to think differently about your life today. I want you to think in terms of trust of God. In Philippians 4:19, Paul says this, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, there are some people who would say, take that verse and they would turn it into some kind of a get-rich-quick scheme. But in reality, what he's saying is, God will make sure you have enough. Now, your definition of enough might be better from mine, and I'm not here to argue with that, okay? That's a no-win argument that we have. Well, how much is enough for you? Well, that's not enough for me. I mean, and then you can get into the spiritual pride. Well, that's enough for me, brother, and you should be just like me. Nah, not going to get into that. But you need to answer that question. How much is enough? How much do you need in life? Is God supplying your every need? You know, there's... I'm going to kind of skip through a couple places here. Paul lived the kind of life that most of us probably wouldn't choose to live. He says this, "Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave." You're going to leave it to somebody, probably your kids. That's not a bad thing. But you need to remember, you're not going to take it with you. You're going to your reward. Your reward isn't in this earth. It's all going to burn up someday. There could be a stock market crash tomorrow. I pray to God it doesn't happen, but there could be. And everything that you've worked hard for could be devalued in a moment. Could be a fire, could be a flood. You know, all this stuff is temporary. I talked Wednesday night about a guy that was giving a speech one time. He was giving a sermon one time, and he was talking about things that we value in life. And he had this big roll of stickers that was red oval stickers, and everyone had these words printed on it: temporary. And as he was preaching, he walked around and he put a sticker on the music stand: temporary. He put a sticker on the chairs: temporary. Put a sticker on the flowers: temporary. He put a sticker on the keyboard: sorry, Pastor Matt, temporary. He put a sticker on everything that said temporary, but in his other hand, he had a blue sticker, and it was marked eternal. And he went around to every person and put a sticker on their shoulder that said eternal. You are eternal. Your reward is not in this life. And sometimes we live like it is. But it's really not. It's all going to go into the box someday. It's all going to be gone someday. We can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. I can take you places in the world today where they don't have enough food and clothing. Not by our standards anyway. But I've also seen those people living contented lives. It's amazing to me that there are people so poor that they have to live like the Israelites. Every morning they have to get up and ask the question, is God going to be faithful today? Because tomorrow and the next day are too far off. We've got to take care of right now. And God seems to come through. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Here's where the root of it is. It's not if you become rich, but do you long to become rich? I thank God for Christian businessmen who make millions of dollars and are able to employ thousands of people. You know, Truett Cathay just passed away, the owner of Chick-fil-A, the founder of Chick-fil-A. And he, through his life and through his work ethic and through his blessings of God, not only made millions of dollars, but gave millions of dollars away. Because he didn't strive to be rich. He strove to be faithful. Do you strive to be faithful, or do you strive to accrue the things of this world? It can lead to trap many foolish and harmful desires. For the love of money, the love of money, the love of stuff, the love of things is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered away from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Do you have enough? Is all of your time and effort consumed with getting more? Are you trusting God? These are important questions that we have to answer today. I'm not saying God wants you to sell everything and give to the poor and then go on and just kind of live in poverty all your life, although some people are called to that. I'm asking you if you have enough. And if you do have enough, what are you doing with it? How are you handling that? Are you putting forth the kingdom of God? Or are you living in disobedience to His Word? That's right, I said disobedience to His Word. God doesn't want us to worry about tomorrow. He wants us to trust in Him. And so we need to take these questions seriously. Do you have enough? That's a question only you can answer. It's between you and God, not between you and me. I'm not your little dictator that tells you how much is enough and, you know, okay, you should have this much and you should have this much. You need to sell your home because it's way too nice for you. That's not my business. That's between you and God. But just honestly ask yourself this question this morning. Do I have enough? Somebody here would love to give more to God, but you can't because you don't have enough, you think. And you're constantly trying to get more, and it's hampering you from doing what God wants you to do. And your eyes are not on Him, they're on your situation and your expectations, and you need to just get it straight with God. Father, I have enough. Thank you. And now whatever I have belongs to you and your kingdom. And I trust you to provide for my daily needs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that you have given every one of us here enough. Father, I thank you that your word tells us not to worry about everyday life, whether we have enough food and drink or clothing or that kind of thing to wear. That we are more than that, that we are eternal beings in the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would touch every heart, that you would help us to wrestle with that question. Is it enough? Is it enough? We thank you for this now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in that song that they were playing a little while ago. And I want you just to stand with me, would you? You know, if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, now's a good time to do that. It changes everything about you. If Jesus isn't the center of your life and everything that you are and everything that you do, that's the first step you have to take. Because nothing has meaning without Christ in the middle of it. But I want you just to think about that. This isn't an altar calling kind of song. If you want to come to the altar, you can. But this is a time for reflection. This is a time for asking yourself some hard questions that maybe you've never confronted before. How much is enough? Have I reached that point? Can I trust God with my future? So let's just sing along. Close your eyes if you can and just worship God and just let Him speak to your spirit here this morning. Go ahead and do that.